chapter 33 as we look at trusting God for his blessings. Trusting God for his blessings in Psalm 33. I want to read verses 1 through 11. And there are some truths I want us to think about this morning. And I want us to realize, in order for us to receive the blessings of God in our life, there are three areas, there are three things we have to be trusting God for, or trusting God in. So Psalm 33, in verses 1 through 11, David writes, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations." Father, again, we ask that you bless our time. Father, I ask that you would guide us through the scriptures as they truly are a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Father, we do get godly wisdom through your word. We get understanding. And Father, we ask that you would guide us this hour. Lord, I ask that you would help us to truly trust you. And the three things that we're going to talk about this morning, I pray, Father, that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that you would establish our thoughts. Help us, Lord, to be attentive to you this morning, just as Mary was attentive to Christ when they invited Jesus into the home. Martha was off, cumbered about, very busy in the kitchen, very busy trying to do things. But you said of Mary, she chose the better part. She chose to sit quietly and to listen to your soft, still voice as you would speak the truth that would help her life and would help her to live a life faithful to you, a life faithful in trusting you, a life faithful and never walking away from you, even when there are moments, seasons of trials and seasons of unsurety, but yet always being assured that we have a place in heaven, assured of our salvation through Christ, and assured of your love, that nothing can separate us from your love, which is found in Jesus Christ. So, Father, would you please bless our time together, bless the children and Kid Venture, open up their hearts and understanding to the Bible lessons, drawing them unto Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as the David says here in Psalm 33 at the beginning, rejoice in the Lord. And you and I have much to rejoice in. This past week, I was part of a funeral for a believer. And as I said at the funeral, and as the Bible teaches us, the moment that he passed from this life to the next was the moment his faith became sight. All right, his faith became sight, and we're looking forward to seeing our Savior one day, but we can rejoice in the life that he's given us now. He's given us an opportunity to live for him. He's given us an opportunity to trust him, to follow him, and to receive his blessings. What an amazing Heavenly Father that we have that every day wants to bestow blessings upon us. One of the greatest blessings that you and I experience every day without fail, you experience this blessing every day, and we don't even think about it, and that is breathing. How many of us woke up this morning? Don't raise your hand or anything, because we don't want to be shamed if you did, but how many of you woke up this morning just praising God for another breath? The fact that, you know, you lived through the night, you woke up to another day, the sun is shining, the sky is blue, you're able to gather together, you know, with God's people, you're able just to walk with the Lord, enjoy the blessings of the Lord. But it is one thing we rarely think about. You know, I might think more of it now because I have to use, you know, a CPAP machine and, you know, to help me, and which I really don't. It's been a while since I've used it, but I've gotten, someone has blessed me with some more masks to be able to use that machine, because, you know, let's face it, we just want to do things on our own. right? But again, you think about just rejoicing in the Lord, trusting God for his blessings. That's why David starts out, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." The upright being God's people, being the believers, being the saints, being the ones that God has given the power to become the sons of God. He has given us the power to become his children, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And verse 2 just tells us that we can praise him with the instruments. David was a man that would strum on a harp and write all the psalms that he wrote in honor of the Lord. And it says, praise him, praise the Lord with harps, sing unto him with the psaltery, instrument of ten strings, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. You know what? God loves to hear his children sing praises unto him. You know, it's good that, you know, there are people that are skillful in singing. I'm not, but I'm glad that I can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It may not be joyful to my kids' ears when I sing, but it's joyful to the Lord because he hears it from the heart, right? He hears what we're singing, that we're praising him for it. Just as John Newton wrote the hymn Amazing Grace and wrote in there, "Saved a wretch like me." That was his viewpoint of him, that he was undeserving of salvation, but he was rejoicing in Christ for opening his eyes and revealing the truth to him. Someone who was living in darkness, someone who thought his way was right and didn't realize he's headed to destruction. Because, you know, the ways of man are right in his own eyes, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction, right? The ways of death. Again, rejoicing in the Lord, because God is worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. And we're reminded of that in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, that God's created everything to bring honor and glory to him. And he desires for you and me to worship him out of a pure, sincere heart every day, trusting him, praising him, following him. But again, we are thankful for the blessings. Besides breathing, you receive blessings every day from the Lord, every week of your life, and we just have to recognize those things. But you know what? Maybe we're here this morning, and we haven't seen any blessings from God in some time. Maybe it's been more of a struggle, you know, just living life, and it's hard to see the blessings of the Lord. I want to give us three things today that we need to trust the Lord in order to see the blessings of God. In verse 16 and 17 of the same chapter, it says, "There's no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength." As David writes this, David living in the times of kings, kings going out to battle, fighting each other, kingdom against kingdom, trying to overtake, trying to become bigger, and the horse representing strength. I mean, if you had horses in your army, you were a strong army. But think about us today. There are things in our life that we think will help us be better. We try to gather strength from, and it's all in vain because he says, "Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength," by the strength of the horse. Realize God wants to be our strength every day. God wants to be the strength of our life. He wants to be the wisdom in our life. He wants to be the one that we are fully trusting in order to receive blessings in our life. God does not want us to trust in the wrong resources for help and blessings. First thing I want us to recognize this morning, in order to receive blessings from the Lord, is you and I must continue trusting God's word in our life. We must continue trusting God's word in our life. Look at verses 4 through 9. The psalmist wrote, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." God wants you and me to keep trusting in His Word in our life. He wants us to keep trusting God's Word in our life. The psalmist said this in Psalm 119, verse 45, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." We have to keep seeking God's Word in our life daily in order to receive blessings in our life. Trusting God's Word daily in our life to receive blessings in our life. Again, it is the number one thing that will help us to be blessed, because it's a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. We cannot live the Christian life apart from God's Word. It is the number one thing that is fought against in your life and my life. "Yea, hath God said," was the devil's comment to Eve. And then she got to thinking, and she disobeyed God by eating the one fruit He said not to eat. Again, God's given us a great light. He's given us this great lamp to guide us through this life, and we have to keep trusting God's Word in our life in order to see the blessings. We cannot live apart from God's Word and expect blessings in our life. How does someone get saved? Not everybody's going to go to heaven that's religious and goes to church and is a church member and has been baptized or in some capacity. That doesn't save you. The Word of God tells us how to be saved. It's trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the only way to be saved, is believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And God's Word tells us that. And at some point, hopefully at some point, you trusted in Christ as your Savior based on what He did, the death, burial, and resurrection. But we can't continue to live apart from God's Word, because it goes on to say, for the Scripture saying, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's Word tells us that. And you know what? If you have believed what God's Word has said about His Son, Jesus Christ, and you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been blessed. You trusted God and God's plan of salvation, and you have been blessed because you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God on that day that you accepted Christ as your Savior. He's kept you spiritually safe, never to lose the gift of salvation, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know the Bible teaches in 1 John chapter 5, you can't lose it. You can't lose the gift of salvation. So you and I have been blessed with that gift of salvation. And God wants to continue blessing us as we continue trusting His Word in our life daily. Why can I trust? Why can I trust God's Word? Why can you trust God's Word? Because it's a pure Word. In verse 9, He says, for He spake, it was done, He commanded, it stood fast. You realize that God's Word is pure. Whatever He says, There's no evil intentions, there's no deception with it, but it's love, it's grace, it's mercy, all in God's Word, as He will speak to your heart, as He will guide you by His Word. God, man, when you read God's Word as you do, He never leads you astray, does He? He always leads you in the right direction. He always comforts you. He always guides you. He always points you and me to Him, the one who is always faithful. But you know what? In order to receive blessings, we have to keep trusting His Word. And what does the world say about God's Word? It's a lie. It's a fairy tale. Don't allow yourself to believe what unbelievers say about God's Word. The very Word that, as I just read, shows a person how they can be saved. Because there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's why the only begotten Son of the Father came, to fulfill all the law, to die for the sins of the world, because there's nothing that anyone can do to receive the gift of salvation. But God also desires for us to continue in his word, not neglecting it, but applying it to our life, seeking it for daily help, daily guidance, daily wisdom, so that we will have God's blessings upon our life, because with God's word comes God's blessing, because it is pure. The Bible says in Psalm 12, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. It's amazing how much we will believe what somebody tells us. There's somebody in your life that you look up to and you believe everything they say. But then we turn around, I say we turn around and question things that God says. We questioned, again, like Eve, and I use Eve as an example because, I mean, they were the first people on this earth, and God gave them everything. He blessed them with every kind of fruit that they could desire in a beautiful, perfect garden. I mean, the temperature's perfect. Everything's perfect. And God, you know, I know the question is, well, why did God, you know, leave that tree in the garden that's, you know, he said not to eat of? Because he didn't create robots. He created people with a free will to love him, a free will to obey him, a free will to trust him, a free will to follow. But it's that one thing that they desired that they were told they couldn't have. And they all questioned, they both questioned the word of God. Again, if you and I want to see blessings in our life, we have to trust God's word in our life. We have to trust the fact that it's pure, that God has given us his word to bless us, to guide us, to show us how to have a blessed life. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." You and I will be blessed if we hear God's word and we keep it, applying it to our life. But not only is God's word pure and we can trust it because there's no deception, there's no lie in it, but it's powerful. God's word is powerful. In verse 6, he says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." I mean, you go back to the book of Genesis and you read, God just spoke the worlds into existence, right? Just his word, "Let the earth bring forth," and it brought forth cattle, all types of reptiles and birds and fish and mammals and everything. And God just, I mean, he created all the beautiful flowers, the trees, I mean, everything just by his word. And the devil knows, your adversary, your enemy knows how powerful God's word can be in your life. And that's why he's against it. That's why he convinces us not to read it, not to apply it to our life, not to trust all of it, even though God said that all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, you know, all of that. It is profitable for our life to be blessed by God. Everything you and I need is written down in God's book. You know, in Ephesians, take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and I want you to look at verse number 16. So Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, these verses give us the armor of God, gives us the different pieces of the armor of God. But when you get to verse 16, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith." Right? We walk by faith, not by sight. We actually have to believe what God has said in his word is true. It's for my benefit, right? It's not for my destruction, it's for my benefit. "Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Verse 17, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit." The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, the devil hates the word of God because it is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It is powerful enough to change our thinking, to even show us wrong thinking we have, thinking that we've been deceived by. God's word is pure and powerful, and the devil knows that if you and I will truly let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light on our path and read it every day, he knows our life is going to be blessed. That's why in our minds we're always questioning. We're always, You ever find yourself, when you do read the Bible, your mind drifts? It's because the flesh doesn't want it. The devil fights against it. The devil knows you're going to get something out of it that helps you and helps me. And it is the number one thing I counsel people to do. Read your Bible. And I've heard people say, I need real help. And what they mean by that is they want someone just to tell them something good or prescribe some type of medication. You can't prescribe medication to a spiritual issue. Okay, we're not talking physical ailments. We're talking spiritual ailments that we have. And God has said that his word is powerful. His word is what helps us. His word is what encourages us. You realize that even his word is what helps a broken heart? It helps a broken heart, a broken spirit. It helps someone who is battling depression. Because what is depression? Depression is the spiritual attack on someone to let them know that you're not worth anything, nobody loves you, you'd be better off dead. And other things that people face in those times of depression. But the Word of God tells us, wait, I am precious. Because God knew me before anybody else knew me. God formed me in the womb. God gave me this life to come to know him. God guides my steps every day. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. God is the one that performed the act of the plan of salvation so that you and I could have hope. Hope of deliverance. Hope of eternity, hope of getting a new body, tears being wiped away, everything becoming new when we enter into those pearly gates, as we sung about, as we enter into eternity with the Lord. But even now on this side of heaven, if you and I will continue trusting God's word, you and I will find blessings in our life. Again, when you think about someone who's being tormented in their minds and in their thoughts, you read in the book of Matthew, you read where this man was out of his mind, living among the tombs, not wearing clothes. The townspeople could not control him. They tried to chain him up, but he would break the chains with supernatural strength because of the demons that possessed him. Because when you read about it, Jesus stepping onto the shores of that town, this man who was demon possessed come running out, and the demon spoke and asked Jesus, have you come to torment us before the time? And then they asked Jesus of leave, that, well, you know, bid us to go into the herd of swine, and Jesus said go. So the man was relieved of the demonic oppression, and you read in the Bible where the swine, the pigs ran violently down off of a cliff and they drowned in the sea. But the man whose life was a wreck, when Jesus came into his life, the townspeople come out and they see him sitting, clothed, in his right mind. That's the power of Christ, and that's the power of his word. He can physically, mentally, spiritually change anybody. But you and I have to keep trusting his word in our life and keep seeking the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. in 1 Peter chapter 1, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Because God's word transforms lives. God's word convicts the heart. And it is what your enemy doesn't want you to rely upon, doesn't want you to read, doesn't want you to be trusting in, doesn't want you to faithfully follow. Again, God has the power to create, because he created the worlds and everything that exists in them. For by him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. God created everything, but what did he do on the sixth day of creation? He didn't speak man into existence. Out of clay, out of the dirt, with his own hands, the Bible records, God formed man. But man was lifeless. It was just a body that's lifeless until God breathed life into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. What a beautiful thing where you read about creation and how man came to be, but that's exactly what God wants to do in your life and my life every day through his word, is to breathe new life into us every day. Because every day is a new day. We can't go back and live good days that we've had, and we can't go back and change the bad days we've had. Every day is a blessing from God for his people who are born again, who have trusted Christ as their Savior, to trust his word and to allow the word of God to breathe life into us for the day we're living in, to rejuvenate us, to revive us again. His word is powerful enough to create. It's powerful enough to sustain. We're told in Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The world, this earth, continues to spin on its axis at the right degree, at the right speed. Never speeding up, never slowing down. Because God has it sustainable. He's the one that sustains the earth. He's the one that sustains the right amount of oxygen so you and I can breathe. I mean, you know this. God's in control, right? But he wants to be the one that sustains you and me every day. He wants to be the power in our life that we rely upon. His word needs us to keep trusting in it. Keep trusting in the word of God in your life daily in order to see and receive the blessings of God in your life. The second thing I want you to think about, look at verses 10 through 12. Verses 10 through 12. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. You already know that man's counsel is just that, man's counsel. Sometimes man's opinion, right? We seek counsel, we seek people's opinion on different things in our life, and sometimes their counsel's good and sometimes it's not. But God's counsel is the only counsel that stands forever. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Because sometimes when somebody gives us their counsel, there's a motive behind it. There's a motive behind it. Car salesman will give you his counsel on the car you're looking at. Oh, it's a beautiful car. You look great sitting behind the wheel. You're going to look great driving down the road in it. Yeah, but what's this ticking noise I'm hearing? Don't worry about that. It'll go away. But this is a great car. It looks good. You look good sitting in it, right? What's his motive? Money. He wants you to buy that car so he gets the sale, right? And not all salespeople are like that. There are some honest salespeople out there, okay? But I'm just saying, some people, their motive in giving you their counsel is to benefit them. God's motive in giving us his counsel is to benefit us, because the thoughts of his heart is to all generations. He has thoughts of peace towards you and me. Not thoughts of destruction, but thoughts of peace. Thoughts of how he wants to bless us. How he wants us to experience his blessings in our life. And one of those blessings is his wisdom. He wants you and me not just to keep trusting his word, but to keep trusting his wisdom in our life. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Ungodly counsel will bring destruction. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Ungodly counsel will bring destruction, but godly counsel endures forever. God's wisdom, God's counsel. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Notice it doesn't say if he falls, he says though he fall. We all fall at different times. We all have those struggles and those testings in life. Doesn't mean that God's wisdom failed us, right? David said in Psalm 23, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I'll fear no evil, right? Because the Lord is with him. He said, the Lord's staff, all right? His staff, his rod will protect him, will provide for him. God's counsel, which is found in God's word, brings blessings into my life and your life. In verse 12, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God blesses your faith. God blesses your faith. Again, when you think about the forefathers that came to America before it was America, he blessed their faith because people were coming here in search of a place to be able to freely worship God according to his word. I mean, our nation has been a friend to Israel for some time. I mean, different presidents have come and gone, and, you know, some are for Israel, some aren't, all right? But again, God blesses the faith of people. How much faith do you and I have in the word of God and in the wisdom of God? How much faith do we have in God's leading in our life? We've trusted him for salvation, but what about the rest of our life? I'll be honest, I'm tired of seeing Christians unhappy, demonically oppressed, not walking with God, not listening to godly counsel, when God tells us in his word how to be blessed. It's very disappointing when, as a pastor, I try to give somebody counsel with God's word and they don't want to hear it. I'm not talking about you right now. I'm just thinking about people I've counseled and have tried to, you know, encourage. Come to church. Hear the word of God. Read your Bible. You're going to have a better life walking with God. And they keep doing it their own way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. Well, I'm going to do it my way. It doesn't work. And they're still miserable in their life because they refuse to do it God's way. Trusting God's word. Can I just tell us this morning that the only way that we're going to be happy and to have blessings and to be in the right frame of mind is to keep reading God's word daily, and not just the verses we like, but the whole counsel of God. I mean, there's verses I like that I always go to. Psalm 48, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. You know, there's verses I go to that encourage me, but I can't just keep reading the same verses that encourage me and tell me everything's great, because when I read the whole counsel of God, God reveals to me at different times, okay, buddy, you want to know why you're not happy? Boom. And it's like, Wait, let me find something else, God. Right? I mean, that's just the attitude. But listen, it just starts with this. God's word. And through God's word, we get his wisdom. Because do you realize God truly wants you to be blessed? He really wants your life to be blessed. He really wants us to feel his presence, and he does. I'm always reminded about the father that came to Jesus because his son was being oppressed by a demon. Because he would tell Jesus, you know, often my son, he's cast into the fire, he's cast into the water, some type of epilepsy or something was going on in the young man's life, but it was a spiritual attack. And Jesus said, "Do you believe I can do this?" He had to answer the question, "Do you believe?" Because sometimes we just go to God and we want God to do something, but we don't have no faith he will. We just want him to fix the problem. And Jesus said, "Do you believe?" Let me ask you the question. Do you believe God's word is true? Do you believe the answers to life are found in God's word? Do you believe it can be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path? Do you believe what God has said in his word? Because Jesus asked the Father, "Do you believe?" And the Father said, "I believe." We all believe. But then the Father said, "But help mine unbelief." He admitted, "I believe, but I have some doubt. I have some unbelief." And you realize that as soon as the father admitted that, his son was healed. You go and read the account. But let's even back up in the account. Because before the father came to Jesus, this is when Jesus was on the Mount Transfiguration, transformed in all his glory, and Peter wakes up and Peter sees Jesus and sees Moses and Elijah there on the mountain with him. This father, this unnamed father, is down with the other disciples that Jesus had given power to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and all of that. And he brought his son to the disciples who could not help his son. So he brought his son in faith, believing that, hey, my son's going to get help, and the disciples couldn't do it because later the disciples did ask Jesus, "Why couldn't we cast out the demon?" So the father came to the disciples and they couldn't do it. And you kind of have to read it and think, you know what? It had something to do with the lack of faith with the father. The disciples had the power to do it. They were doing it. But when this father came, they couldn't do it. That's why Jesus asked him, "Do you believe?" "Yes, but help mine unbelief." I know that God has the answers, but how often do I come to get the answers? I know his word is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. I know it's the sword of the Spirit. I know it is what God has given to help me, but how often do I go to it? God blesses our faith, even a little bit. Even if there's some doubt mixed in with it, and we admit it because God wants us to conquer that doubt, conquer that unbelief. Because God doesn't bless when there's sin in our life. Whatever the sin is, he doesn't bless that life as much as he wants to. They may still be breathing. They may still be healthy, but that's it. No other blessings. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I believe, but help my unbelief. God blesses our faith. How much faith do we have? Only you can answer that. And God knows our heart, because in verse 18 and 19, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." Let me read that again. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Never believe the lie that God doesn't care or God doesn't care about your life. He's not watching. His eye is on you because you're one of his children. His eye is on you and he is waiting to just bless you beyond measure. He's waiting to do great things. Because in Jeremiah, we're told, call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. How much of God's blessings are we missing out on? I can't tell you, but we're missing out on blessings. We're missing out on blessings because of our faith. Because we're not exercising our faith with God's word. We're not exercising our faith with God's wisdom. And we're not trusting in God's work in our life. You realize that God wants to work in your life? Now, he did the great work of salvation, right? Living a perfect life, dying on the cross of Calvary, raising from the grave, raising from the dead. He did the great work of salvation, but he wants to continue that great work in your life. Look at verse 20 through 22. He says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we've trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. According as we hope in thee. So we can't expect much from God if we don't have much hope in him. If we're not trusting him much, we can't expect much from him. It's sad, but I've known people to get mad at God when something goes wrong in their life and they haven't been reading their Bible, they haven't been walking with the Lord, they haven't been praying, but once something goes wrong, they want to blame God for it. And then when it gets fixed, oh, everything's good. You and I have to keep trusting God's work in our life, the work of strength, because he says in verse number 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. It speaks of strength. He is our help. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. You want pronouns to be a part of your life as the culture wants, you know, say the right pronoun. Well, here's the right pronoun. My God, my Savior, my strength, my buckler, right? Is he that to you? Can you say, as David says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust. He's my buckler. He's the horn of my salvation. He's my high tower. Look, that is fully trusting in God's work in your life, because that's what he wants to be. He wants to be your help. He wants to be my help. He wants to be our strength. Isaiah 40, verse 28, very quickly. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, there's a key. We have to wait upon the Lord. Still trusting he's my rock. He's my deliverer. He's my defense. He's my help. He's my strength. And I'm going to, by his grace and help, wait on him until he delivers me or until he blesses me. Whatever the Lord is doing, wants to do, whatever I'm seeking him for. Because again, as Paul would seek the Lord for the thorn of flesh to be removed, he trusted God would, but God said no. Sometimes God knows what's best. He knows what's better than we do, and God said no to Paul. Nope, because in your weakness, I'm strong. There are times in our life that God wants us to remain weak so that we will become strong in Christ and become stronger in the Lord, stronger in our faith, trusting and waiting upon the Lord. But that is what God wants to do in our lives, but you and I have to trust God in order to receive the blessings that we desire, the blessings that we're seeking after. Whatever it is in your life that you want God to do, you and I have to examine our life. Am I truly trusting His Word? By reading it, by applying it, by seeking the wisdom of God through His Word? Am I trusting God's work in my life? I may not like it. I mean, there's been things that have happened in my life, as I'm sure has happened in your life, that you aren't happy about and wish it never happened. But it's those things that God shows Himself mighty in. It's those things that God strengthens us through. We don't like it. But again, the focus has to be on the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you seeing blessings in your life? I hope you are. And even if you are seeing blessings, continue to desire, continue trusting in God's word, trusting in His wisdom, trusting in His work, letting God do the work. He has begun the good work in you, and He said He'll finish it. Let's not resist it. Let's not resist what God wants to do. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, that you might find rest unto your soul." Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly. He came to call sinners to repentance, not the righteous. He came to heal the sick, not the whole, right? As the Pharisees would question Him, because He's sitting with sinners and publicans and having a meal, and that's what He said. He said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The physician doesn't come to heal those that are whole. He comes to heal those that are sick. So He has all the answers. Are we trusting?